So continue with the root text on page 17 here. Okay, now we look at the Mayuni school's way of asserting selflessness. So the way of positing illustrations of the course and subtle selflessness of persons is similar to the autonomous and below. An illustration of the selflessness of phenomena is, for example, the emptiness that is a form and the valid cognizer apprehending that form being empty of being different substances. Next is the presentation of the grounds and paths. And this will be explained in two parts. Number one, the objects of abandonment, and the actual presentation of the grounds and paths.
tambo kansa ge dang zin sabo na chaba dang te ong ge jume to sum sabo na chaba ni dib re sta.
Okay, what are the objects of abandonment according to the Mayanoni school? The conception of a self of persons together with its seeds and the three poisons arising due to the force of that conception together with their seeds are posited to be afflictive obscurations. So I don't think that there's any need for me to explain that because we have been talking about this, you know, over and over again, you know. So you shouldn't have any problem understanding what I just read.
Anybody have problem? When you read, you understand? Huh? Oh, no. But then the tzik did a lot, and comma to what in the yungu do is that comma to send to Shiagora. Koko to send to Shiagmar.
So yeah, if there's any, is there anything, any part of the long sentence that you don't understand? See, because if you all understand, then there's no need for me to say anything. Yeah. So if there's anything that you don't understand that you have to say, then I will try to explain. Otherwise, if you don't tell me, then I'll just move on. Yeah.
Do you understand when I read the sentence, this part? But I need to make more clear on the sentence, or you don't need to. Yeah, feedback. Yeah, others I won't know. Yeah, just talk about this sentence. Nimung si nimung di si jagi dua. Nudip le said. Then I go say tango na yang tiwa tigorwa.
That long sentence I've just read out is essentially telling us what is an affliction, isn't it? I mean, what constitutes, what are the afflictions here? I mean, and of course, in this case, they are the afflictive obscurations. Is there anything I need to clarify? Do you want me to clarify? Then the conception of phenomena as being true, together with their seeds, the latencies of that, and all mistaken dualistic appearances that arise due to the force of that, all these are posited to be the obscurations to knowledge.
Sudan sudu sama zeta tu jadi zimba sedi denzin sedi kap di denzin sedi log di la sedi sudan sudu sama zeta tu tu juga jadi zimba di la ta denzin sedi ta lawa sijib di kalasan jiba ni ke nane sudan zeta tu jadi zimba di sijib resuar kansaran zeta tu jadi zimba di nyundi resu ke ta lawa log di la.
So the conception of a self of person, we talked about this quite a fair bit during the Great Exposition School, isn't it? And yeah, so what is this? What is the conception of a self of person for the Mayanoni School? It's just the conception of a self-sufficient, substantially existent person, lah. So that is a conception of a self of person, isn't it? Then what is the conception of a true existence? In according to the Mayanoni school, the conception of true existence here refers to the conception of subject and object as different substances, yeah. Isn't it? Okay? So that is the conception of true existence. And in according to the Mayanoni school, so the conception of subject and object as different substances or as different entities, that is posited to be, and a knowledge obscuration, yeah. Or, you know, what people usually translate as well, obstructions to omniscience, yeah. Okay, and the conception of a self-sufficient, substantially existent person is an afflictive obscuration, yeah. So the conception of a self-sufficient, substantially existent person is an afflictive obscuration, yeah? So the seeds of that conception is also an afflictive obscuration. And the three mental poisons that arise due to the force of the conception of a self-sufficient, substantially existent person, those the three poisons, yeah, are also posited to be afflictive obscurations. So in here, in this context, the conception of true existence, I mean, he translates it as the conception of things as being true, yeah. Anyways, conception of true existence, yeah. So in this context, the conception of true existence, which is according to the Mayuni school, isn't it, is the conception of a subject and object as different substances, isn't it? So that is posited to be the conception of true existence here. And that is in knowledge obscuration, yeah. And the seeds of that conception are also posited to be knowledge obscurations. Okay, so the conception of subject and object as different substances, together with its seeds, is these are knowledge obscurations. Yeah. On top of that, the latencies that are deposited or planted on the mental continuum by that conception are also posited as knowledge obscurations. And on top of that, then the mistaken dualistic appearances that arise due to the force of those latencies. The latencies of conceiving a subject and an object as different substances, or even those mistaken dualistic appearances that arise from the latencies of that conception are posited to be knowledge obscurations. Yeah. So I did explain a bit about the difference between seed and latency. You must know that there are times where these two are translated, in the same way, using the same word in English. Yeah. And in those times, a lot of times, I mean, they mean the same thing. But there are times when they mean, there are also times when they are different. They don't mean the same thing. Yeah. So you must know what is the difference between a seed and a latency. And even a seed is, okay, it's pretty straightforward in English. Yeah. And nobody translates it as something else. It's seed, yeah. But the word latency is one of the many translations of the word pakchak. You know? So it's latency, proclivity, predisposition, imprint. These are the four I know. I don't know what else.
Sabun the Pashenika, that on the Ipena sudan sun zeta de zim zim be shi sha ba sa bun da pa cha su de ni ge da zim ba de sha ba de chung ba de ro ba ro ba sa bun da pa cha ni ga zim ba de ge sha yi ro ba sha che da kun ye ge cha ba de sa bun da pa cha kun ye ge cha ba che no wa sa bun se de nga me sha ba yin ba la da ro sudan sun zeta de zim ba chi ma ge tu ye ge nu ba yu de ne shi ro ba ge je shi ne shi la da sa bun se shi ba de.
So let's take the conception of subject and object as different substances. Yeah. So this is a conception of true existence, isn't it? According to this school. So there is the seed of this conception. There's also the latency of this conception. Both the seed and the latency of this conception are similar in that both are planted or placed on the mental continuum by that conception, the same conception. Yeah? Okay, they are similar in that respect. But there is a difference between the seed of the conception and the latency of the conception. The seed of the conception of subject and object as different substances has the potential, the power to produce that conception, to newly generate such a conception.
Oh, tenesh. That sudan zeta sudan sudan sama. That zeta de zimba ti shabe pakcha sudo kala. Ya, kote zime dao shima shi. Karsina ko tende zimba di ke mutunga shi. Ina ta tende pakcha ongi chunang jing sudan sudan zeta ne nawa ke nuba shi yue de shi. Mada zimba kora ke mutunga. Ta chunang ke tuwe cha shi yung kore pakcha se.
Kato, the seed of the conception of subject and object as different substances has the power potential to produce that conception again. Whereas the latency of the conception of subject and object as different substances do not have the power to produce that conception. But what it produces is the mistaken dualistic appearances. Next, the actual presentation of the grounds and paths, according to mine only. Those of the hero lineage conjoin the view, realizing the selflessness of persons with a small accumulation of merit for the sake of their own welfare, while those of the solitary realizer lineage conjoin the view, realizing the selflessness of persons with middling accumulation of merit for the sake of their own welfare, and independence on having cultivated that for at least 3 lifetimes, 100 eons and so forth, actualize their respective enlightenments.
Toxini kena, rawa teposum lamunga, toxini ta kelembo tsungai mare.
So remember, I talked about a while ago about the 3 yanas, the 3 vehicles, and the 5 paths. Yeah, so it's the same. So what are the 3 vehicles here? The hearer's vehicle, the solitary realizer's vehicle, and the great vehicle, the Mahayana. Yeah?
So, the hearers
and the solitary realizers have as their main object of meditation the selflessness of person. And the main object of abandonment of the hearers and solitary realizers is the conception of a self of person, which is the afflictive obscurations. And so they meditate on the selflessness of person in order to abandon the conception of a self of person for the purpose of their own welfare.
Tati tsumba himare. Ta anichi ta tinema anichi ta jibo chijan na ni yendo do ran yen ni la ni chaba kare yo des. Ta tinde ge ta tobal des sigro wa. Ta kunyi la ni kanga chiba da ni chaba kang yo des.
So the hearers and the solitary realizers are the same in having the conception of a self of person as the object of abandonment. They are the same in having the selflessness of person as the main object of meditation. And they are the same in that they meditate on this selflessness of person in order to accomplish their own welfare. So having said this, you know, then in what ways then are they different? Or are they different?
Oh, Tuxini, Anne, that Chabar Yavares, that's all Sunducala, Carsena, that Gawa Jay Partu, Sonam Tola, Compa Sing Tubat, and Sing Mutibi, Chabar Yodesh, that and Jenam Jacawa Jay Partu, and in Sonam Tok Sabala, Compa Sing Tubet, that Yedanam Sing Mutuet, Latin Degita, Chabar Yasunguya.
So there is a difference between the hearers and the solitary realizers. The solitary realizers are able to conjoin the view realizing the selflessness of a person, you know, with an accumulation of merit, you know, over a period of 100 yons. They are able to, you know, accumulate merit over 100 yons, whereas the hearers are not able to do that. Yeah. Since there is a difference in their ability to accumulate merit, then definitely there must be a difference in the result that they achieve. Yeah. So, you know, so in terms of the results that they achieve, you can talk about a superior result and a result that is lesser than that.
Oh, today is that today, ma, that chance nam ji sti shugu de la, that chance nam ji ani su jin zhe xin duan de bi da wa de qi du jia wa xin dun tu su, so na yu qi.
Bodhisattvas conjoin the view realizing apprehenders and apprehended sas. Okay. As being empty or being different substances with a great accumulation of merit for the sake of others' welfare, and independence on having cultivated that for at least three countless great yawns, and so on, actualize their respective enlightenment.
Anish Panja Zo Kalasana, Shidi Panja Zo Che Anish Anne Kasore and Topja Zo Dak Kalasana, Karichedusina, Shendentus, that Shingi Chidu, Mixer, that Anish Changju Dubache, what in his.
So the main object of meditation of the Bodhisattvas is the selflessness of phenomena. The main object of abandonment of the Bodhisattvas are the knowledge obscurations, and what is the purpose of for cultivating the path? It is for the welfare of others. Yeah.
다 쪽 유름 거두사 그러잖아. 갈지 정내송. 그러나 쪽사에 어떤 데 송도 왔다.
And it is said that they accumulate a merit over a period of three great countless eons.
어떤 데서 드네마 다 남대 봤다나 티슈대 남대 봤다나 이런 다시 좀 만남 황매도 냥을 대번아 비과 윤샤가 되었어. 아니 드네마 산제 바바 비과 주기미 윤체바 미세버도 봐 인데스.
Mind only true aspectarians assert that when hearer and solitary realizer, four destroyers, or when the hearers and solitary realizer are hearts, yeah, when they pass beyond sorrow without remainder, their continuum of awareness is severed. They assert that it is impossible to sever the continuum of awareness of a Buddha superior because
tere changsa nam sta tambo me tu longur sang ge be longko de ko a chi ma tong ge pa tu nam be ri ta ju mi cha ba du cha ra na ge ka wa dang cham ba tu wa na so ki shen den cha ba de be cha ra se shi.
The reason being that they assert, the true aspectarians assert that for the bodhisattva who attained enlightenment initially as a complete enjoyment body in Akanishta, the continuum of similar type of aspect of that complete enjoyment body is not severed as long as samsara is not empty, but rather it enacts the welfare of others through various emanations in accordance with the fortunes of each individual disciple.
어떻게 제단 다 때문에 죽다 나신 단 진도니게 진도니게 되바 나신래 변하다
불박윤시
아 갈라다 다 니랑 다시 맞은 저 상매도 양을 내인도 갈라 이렇게 봐 윤치바지 캐내시 대나 신신으로 와 이렇게 봐 윤치바지 세시.
So the mind only true aspectarians are, you know, similar with the proponents of great exposition and proponents of sutra in that when in the hearers arhats and the solitary realizers arhats, you know, pass beyond sorrow without remainder, then, you know, their mental continuum, you know, is basically severed. 뭐야?
어떻지네? 다 아니지 가르쳐라. 다 대본 대명 두자 깝라. 다 더더 치는 이게 시야 깝라. 다 산재바 있나야? 다 산재는 하면도 년 년대에 누가 나를 봐 윤체바지. 다 대명 두자 깝라도 해. 다 잡아치면 두자 깝라. 산재사나 아니 봐 유미체바래. 세디다 잡아치면 유미.
The Hinayana tenets also assert that when someone achieves Buddhahood enlightened, when someone becomes a Buddha, and when Buddha passes beyond sorrow, even the continuum of awareness of Buddha is severed. Yeah, okay. But here, in the Mahayana tenets do not assert that the continuum of awareness of a Buddha is severed. Yeah. When Buddha passes beyond sorrow without remainder.
독신이 제단다 산제세 뜻이 잡단라 아니면 더 용하시 당한테 도스 때에 누가나 제단마야 갑라 아니 다 전단이 태고 심부 갑라 산제스 누가나 뜻이 맨다워 시야해야 되겠지 대차기도 와 제단 되나 쉬워나 신에 다스 아니지 창생게 남나 쉬워지 아니 사주야 림기 되시 다 전단이 아니지 오미토고급의 신감도 아니지 산지지 다 통만 산지도 가나 농공원도 시작하래 승부여래 알아봐 나 근데 농고디 다 과치지 어떤 것부터 쉬워야지 알아봐 어떻게 아니 뒤 두시 체제 아니 다 두고 잡아 나서 된제 너의 된 체제 때 승부여래
So there is a difference there's a difference between the Hinayana tenets and the Mahayana tenets explanation of Buddha. Yeah. So there's a big difference. Yeah. So according to the Hinayana tenets, the continuum of awareness of Buddha is severed when Buddha passes beyond sorrow without remainder, isn't it? But that is not what is certain in the Mahayana tenets. Yeah. So according to the Mahayana tenets, travels all through all the 10 bodhisattva grounds, and then one achieves enlightenment. And one achieves enlightenment initially at in this place of Pure Land called Akanishta, and one achieves enlightenment initially as a. And when one achieves enlightenment, one achieves what we call the Sambhogakaya, or the complete enjoyment body. This complete enjoyment body is the basis of emanation. You know, it's the basis of emanation. So this, from this complete enjoyment body, various emanations, you know, are sent, you know, to work for the welfare of sentient beings.
Yeah.
So the Mahayana teachings say that once enlightenment is achieved, then the Buddha's work uninterruptedly for the happiness of and welfare of sentient beings.
Yeah.
The Mahayana teachings explain enlightenment of Buddhahood in terms of the four kayas, or the translated in English as the four bodies. Yeah, but this is my own comment. You must not think of body in the sense of the English word. Yeah, okay, not necessary all the time like that. It's like for the four kayas. Yeah, so in general, they're the two kayas, the two bodies. The truth body and the form body, which is sometimes translated also as the embodiment of truth and the embodiment of form. Some meaning there, you know. So, okay, but let's stick with truth body and form body. So the truth body, when divided, you know, then there are the wisdom truth body and the nature truth body. And when the form body of the Rupakaya is divided, then there is the complete enjoyment body, the Sambhogakaya, and then there is the emanation body, the Namanakaya. So these are the four bodies. Such a presentation of the four kayas is not found in the Hinayana teachings.
Yeah.
Okay, so the embodiment of truth, or the truth body, or Dharmakaya, when divided into two, there is the wisdom truth body and the nature truth body. Yeah. So what is the wisdom truth body? Simply speaking, it is, you know, the mind that directly perceives, you know, all phenomena. Yeah. So this mind of Buddha, that is the wisdom truth body. Jhana Dhamma.
Yeah. 땅 오니 고시 따도나 이시 죽어도 오니 고 니치 따도나 이시 죽으시나 시험하실라 과시 따 오니 고시나 따도나니 칼라 드레 따 오니 고시나 그랑 진대게 아니 시 산제법이 죽으시 아니 셈 따 따 녹들라잖아 랑지도비 신실 랑 승인도비 동아티 따 산제 파베 주기 쌤 람제도 베 신시 랑 스킨도 베 동아티 다 모니 고자
Okay, so that's the wisdom truth body. The Buddhist mind, which directly perceives all phenomena as they are directly. That is, in simply speaking, that is the wisdom truth body. Then what about the nature truth body? We cannot avoid this, but the nature truth body. In this context, here we're talking about the mind only school, yeah, is the emptiness of the mind of a Buddha superior existing by way of his own character as the basis for applying the term mind of a Buddha superior. So that is the nature, truth, body. So, you should be able to understand this. The subject here is we are just changing the object, you know. But what the attribute, you know, is the same. You know? The attribute is the same. We're just changing the object. You know, we talked about many times about form not existing by way of its own character as the basis for applying the term form, isn't it? Isn't it? So it's just the same here. Here, you know, the attribute is the same, but the object we are using this time is the mind of a Buddha superior, right? But the attribute is that the mind of a Buddha superior does not exist by way of its own character as the basis for applying the term the mind of a Buddha superior, isn't it? Yeah. So. What you need to understand is the attribute. Yeah. Yeah. So if it exists by way of his own character, what's the problem? So that is what you need to get. Once you understand that, you know, once you understand the attribute, you know, that something cannot exist by way of its own character as the reference of a term, then, once you see that it cannot withstand logic, no? Then you know the emptiness of that, the non-existence of that is emptiness. In short, the mind of Buddha's superior, emptiness of a self of phenomena, is the nature truth body. So the emptiness, yeah, the emptiness of the emptiness of Buddha's the Buddha's mind. Lack of a self of phenomena. Yeah. So that emptiness, the non-existence of the self of a phenomena, is the nature truth body. So if you want to make it shorter, so the suchness or the final reality that exists on the Buddha's mind, that is the nature, truth, body. On the suchness of Buddha's mind.
독신에 오니 구세 틀세 다 틀라양 고 그래 다 독세 다 드네마 틀레 드네마 다 롱구세 틀레 다 오미토고 신라 아니 지다 다 롱구 남첸스 다 가르스나 다 산케바세데 네 오미코나 쇼바레 세시다 돈다이 다 주바 나서데기 다 시도시다 차데시 다티 네 오미코나 쇼그레스 어떻게 다티 아니 지 치에요 말해서 코 마동 것부터 쇼가 배신 치에매가 좀 숨고요.
So then as for the complete enjoyment body, so when one achieves enlightenment, one is said that one achieves enlightenment first. And the place where you achieve enlightenment is Akanishta. It's like this kind of like a pure land kind of thing. You know? So one achieves enlightenment there, and one achieves enlightenment in the aspect of this complete enjoyment body. So this complete enjoyment body is the basis of emanation. Yeah, from this complete enjoyment body, various emanations are sent out, you know, to help sentient beings. And this complete enjoyment body is said to last forever until the samsara is samsara is emptied. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. 내냐봤어. 오메 코나로 슈그레 세시레. 다 코르냐바디 장세 파바 샤다기 꼴때 바레스. 니체 숨디 다 최냐봤어. 안 태진이 최보식스. 태진이 최코나 숭하지.
그래
두 아니 거마던 거 봐도 슈그레스. 니체
어떡하래. 어? 최두 the complete enjoyment body, the Sambhogakaya, is said to possess five definite features, five certainties. Certainty of place, it abides only in Akanishta. Certainty of retinue. The retinue, or the disciples, literally it's retinue, or basically the disciples of the complete enjoyment body are only bodhisattva superiors. Then there's the certainty of Dharma. The complete enjoyment body teaches only Mahayana Dharma. And certainty of time, the complete enjoyment body lasts forever until samsara is emptied. And we cannot remember what the fifth one. Then the fifth one is the certainty of. Not sure. I mean, certainty of. Literally, certainty of the body. In that the complete enjoyment body is beautified or ornamented by the 32 signs and the 80 exemplifications.
Okay,
so the complete enjoyment body on the Sambhogakaya possesses these five certainties. Yeah. And the Sambhogakaya is the basis of emanation, and the basis of emanation of the emanation body. So there are different emanation bodies. One of the emanation body is one of the divisions of emanation body is called a supreme emanation body. The supreme emanation body, Chogyi Drugu, is for example our kind founder, Guru Shakyamuni Buddha. So that is the supreme emanation body. And this Supreme Emanation Body teaches all kinds of Dharma, not necessarily Mahayana only. And he has all kinds of disciples, yeah. Disciples who have pure karma, who are able to meet with that Supreme Emanation Body, yeah.
어떻게 아니 지다 가르잖아 코마톤 버튼 모션에 다 된다니다 코마톤 버튼 슈핑에 밤에 바래 어떻게 다 된
and there's no certainty that the supreme emanation body will abide until the end of samsara unlike the complete enjoyment body
아니 코 투 안 전다 빼지게 제베 제밤에 바이 바래
음 저기 두이나 And the emanation body, the Namanakaya, is not necessarily adorned with the signs and exemplifications. Anyway, in short, yeah, the complete enjoyment body is possesses the five certainties. Yeah. Whereas that's not the case for the emanation body. The whole basis of you know this presentation of the four kayas you know, is made you know on the premise that you know the continuum of awareness of a Buddha is not severed yeah after passing beyond sorrow without remainder yeah
what?
Yeah you can't talk about the four kayas you know when the Buddha disappears you know
어떻게 제가 당은 좋다 태파 침부 좋다 태파 멤버 좋다 세대 또 내가 투서지 들어도 다 태파 침부 좋다 세대 꾸신 남샤 되베 다 좋다 친구로 와
So perhaps this is one of the key difference or the thing that sets the Hinayana tenets and the Mahayana tenets apart from one another. Yeah. That the Mahayana tenets have a presentation and a detailed presentation of the four kayas or the four embodiments, yeah, or the four bodies. Yeah, of, whereas the Hinayana tenets do not have a presentation of the four
kayas. Yeah.
Then the true expectorants assert that there are three final vehicles. Three final vehicles.
어떻게 다 다 뒤에 긴자 가르잖아. 선전은 통만 매반했어. 다 되는 마 수인도 갈라 릭삼 갑니다. 숨 제라 모바미다. 숨 아니 텔레 아니 두바미다. 숨 텔레 두미다. 숨 육구요레스. 다 긴자 꼬야티바.
So, what is the reason for the true expectorians asserting that there are three final vehicles? The reason is because they assert that sentient beings, since beginningless time, are of three different lineages or dispositions and thus have three different aspirations, and thus have three different ways of practicing, and thus will attain three different results.
어떻게 제단다 변화 가서다 저 섬점의 숭에 다 가르스나 섬점 저 남대미 숭구여래 그러고 남대미 아니지 다그 시바나 신래 상매 돈양알에 대도 가라 아리바 균차바래스 숭구여 다 딜레리 뭐 균차도 딜레다 로스 매등이 다 가랑다 타르투바시 다 차래시 제리규여래 어떠가나시 랑젤라 다 상매 돈양알 대서도 아니 리바 균차시 아니
So here we are talking about the mind only true experience. They assert that there are three final vehicles. Of course they have to assert that there are three final vehicles because they have already asserted that when a hearer, Arhat, passes beyond sorrow without remainder, he disappears. His continuum is severed. So, you know, when your continuum is severed, you're not going to be any, there's nothing beyond that really, you know. So, I mean, you basically die as a hearer's arhat, you know. Then you have the solitary realizer's arhats. So the true expectorants assert that when a solitary realizer arhats passes beyond sorrow without remainder, their continuum is also severed. So, you know, and they die as a solitary realizer's arhat. So that's one different result from the hearer's arhat, isn't it? So, and they're not going to be anything else, and they're not going to achieve anything more than that, right? So that is definite in that sense. So if that's the case, you know, then of course then you have the Buddhas, yeah. So that's why they assert that there are three final vehicles.
Come, Rick Mindawa, you think? Come, Rick Mindawa, Sidukan, Rick said, Zozo, that Nam Demba, Tanakushi, Yore, that Kushi Tendu, and Pakshati Yotesh, Kushi Tendu, Pakja, Yotevaji, Tia, that Kushi Dang, Telatim, Pakja, Temper Tubares, Sunny, Nam Dembe, Killing Yore, Chazan, Tan Yendugi, Rick, and it's Temper Tubaji, and Kushi Pakshatan to Shashi, or Temper Tube, and Rickshi.
So another reason why the true expectorants assert that there are three final vehicles, it has to do with sentient beings being of different dispositions or different pattern. Pattern liao liao, we say. You know. So they assert a mind basis of all, isn't it? So on this mind basis of all, the predisposition is deposited all, right? So the mind basis of all is a repository of the imprint, yeah. And the mind basis of all is truly established, yeah, according to the true expectorance. Yeah. So in that sense, the lineage, you know, so there is the predisposition or imprint of being a hearer. And this is imprint is stored in the mind basis of all which is truly existent,
yeah.
So there is an imprint or that is stored that's in the mind basis of all. And this imprint predisposes that person to be a hearer. So that imprint makes the person definite to be a hearer. That person, you know, sooner or later, you know, if he enters the path, he enters the hearer's path, and then that is the path that he will travel on, and he will achieve the hearer's enlightenment, become a hearer's fall destroyer. In that sense, so it's definite. The lineage is definite for that person.
Ani chig ranje ki kovang dubhe ki nubhaji yuwa res. Ani kor nye bhaji yuwa res. Nye che, ani ranje lam chukche, rāñjā kī chāñjū ngūntū chīgī rēs, tā tīndi ñabā kī yuā rēs, rō tā kia mācā kī chā mā, tīndi ñabā kī yuā rēs, o tūk sīni āntī shī kāyā, tā kā nā shī, tēk chēng kī, āni chāñjū dhūbē kī nūpā chī, āni kūshī tēng tū shā chē, tā kā nā shī, tēk chē lām chūk chē, āni tēk chēng kōpā ngūntū chī nī kī, āni rīk mī rā wā, sū 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 rāng chē nī tēmbā dhūbā kī yuā rēs.
So it's the same thing with, likewise, you know, it's the same with the imprint that predisposes someone to be a solitary realizer and to be a bodhisattva and to want to be a Buddha. Yeah. So these imprints are stored in the mind basis of all, and this imprint predisposes that person to be of a certain lineage. Yeah. So in that sense, therefore, it is certain that that sentient beings are organized into these three different lineages. Yeah. Some will definitely only become hearers, some will become solitary realizers, and there are others who will become only Buddhas. Yeah. Of course, this is their explanation, but of course, this is not necessarily the truth. La. It's not necessarily the reality. We are just talking about their explanation, okay?
O tukshini, ta tilaya karso, ta piyang karso ra, pake. Ta nyendoge rik sido kala, tanda yin nyendoge rik sido kala, nyendoge changju gyurungi nubaji la sivar, tila nyaba da ma nyaba nika yung chukuro ya. Nyendoge rik sechi ngulo, nyendoge rik sina, nyendoge changju gyurungi nubaji la, pakcha nubaji la nyendoge rik sikaro wa. Tila nyendoge nyebe rik, nyendoge ma nyebe rik ngulo wa ta.
So, of course, there are some hearers who have the predisposition or to able to somehow and achieve enlightenment. Yeah. So therefore, you know, when we talk about those of the hearers lineage, those who are definitely of the hearers lineage, so definite hearers lineage and indefinite hearer lineage. Yeah. So, okay.
So
what is the hearer's lineage? No? The hearer's lineage refers to the lineage of the potential that enables one to achieve enlightenment, the hearer's enlightenment. Hearer's enlightenment.
Oh, tuxin. Tinde rik de la nyendo rik de la nyebe rik nyendo nyebe rik nyendo manyebe rik. Oh, tuxin nyung de.
Okay, what is hearer's lineage in the first place? The hearer's lineage refers to the lineage of the potential to be to achieve the hearer's enlightenment. Hearer's enlightenment, yeah. So, okay, having said this, then there's the definite hearer's lineage and the indefinite hearer's lineage.
Right. Lam shen to machi wachi, nyendo lam zhukba ni sungda ni nyendo dhajime to ngondo chingin shiwa rwa ta kao mandwa shi tela ta nyendo ki nyebe riksa ta dhona rikti la.
So the hearers, those who are the definite hearers lineage refer to those sentient beings who will definitely enter the hearers path, travel it to the end and achieve the hearers enlightenment, the hearer's enlightenment, which is becoming a hearer's full destroyer, yeah. Hearer's ahad. Yeah. Okay? So you understand the meaning of the definite hearer lineage?
That rāngjī yī jīvī shīngi dā tē, tēpo chīmbā jīvī shīngi dā tē, tīndē yōng chūgī yō chō, tā tīndē yī jīng yāng jī kār sō tā. Kō nī tū dā chīmbā gōpa ngōntu mā chō chē, rāngjī lāṃ tū sū chē, rāngjī dā chīmbā jū ngōntu chē. Tēlā tā nī tū yī mānyē bē rīk sī. Kō tīndē sūngu yā.
Then what about those who are of indefinite hero's lineage? So those who are of the indefinite hero lineage, you know, are those who may initially, you know, really aspire to the hero's enlightenment, want to become a hero's full destroyer. So they enter the hero's path. So they enter the hero's path of accumulation, and maybe even to the hero's, then they progress to the hero's path of preparation. And then, perhaps, for example, along the way, they meet with a virtuous friend, a guru of the solitary realizer's path, or even a Mahayana guru. Then, you know, they kind of then change and switch path, you know. So let's say, you know, this person who was initially aspiring to hero's enlightenment, then switch and become and enters into the solitary realizer's path. And then in so doing, then traverse that path to the end and become a solitary realizer's Ahad, yeah. So such people are considered those who are of indefinite hero lineage. So there are also those who are of the definite solitary realizers lineage and the indefinite solitary realizers lineage. There are also those who are of the definite mind lineage and those who are of the indefinite Mayana lineage.
What took you? That in this way. That in it. That tell a young carsonata. Then a numb dembe young carsore. Then a dash on a rigney chair just on your numb dembe. No, carsonia. Dash on a rigney. Then I grew up with a Kashina Kanena. That 10 minutes doesn't was Shiva, Joba, Chipova says. Honey, and Changju in Joa say, Nis Dashima, Rigni chair.
Shiva drew
Chipovas.
Shiva Chipovas.
Shiva, Joa, Chipovas. Don't die in that?
Did you never
say? Shiva, Joba, Chipovas. And Changju in Joas, that Dashima, Rigni chigger, that 10 minutes.
Shiva Chibu was named Tak.
Shiva Dua Chibu, that Hame to Yangan, there's a Takaran, the short of Chibos and Tiro.
Really?
Hame Yan, the one to send Takara, the beginning, she did, the short of Chibos, say Chichi. Dajum Marichi, Hachiba Dura, Hame the Yangan, the Tari Bajunchin, the Nedila, Shiva Dua Chibos. Anne, Hajan, the one to Chese, Hame the Yangan, Madeva Chese, Ya Kasor, Chese Lam to Ta.
So then we have the what we call them Ahats, yeah, or the four destroyers. So according to the true expectorians, we have the arhats are also of two types here. In simple English, there are those who are definitely going to pass beyond sorrow without remainder, and then in so doing, their continuum of awareness is severed. Yeah. Then there are those who, after achieving arhatship or become a full destroyer, and before passing beyond sorrow without remainder, then they enter the minor path. And in so doing, will become Buddha in the future. Yeah. Okay, so there are two types. Yeah.
Otoshin Tondai Karsanata, Hajin Yang Deta, Nindu Yita, Nirang, Hajin Yang de Torje, Rikwa Junche, Tahamed Yangal de Chick, and Eric what you much was Rikji and Sanji Salat, Tesalam to Sanje, Rikni, Tatashma, Rikni, Tin Yore, Sungu Yore.
Okay. So this is what the true expectorants say of the hearers, arhats, and solitary realizer arhats. So the hearers, arhats, and the solitary realizer arhats are of two types. Yeah. There are those arhats, they are definitely going to pass beyond sorrow without remainder. And when that happens, their continuum of awareness is severed. Yeah. That means they will remain as arhats, they will die as arhats, and they are finished. Then there are those arhats who, after achieving, becoming an arhat, and before passing beyond sorrow without a remainder, they enter the Mayana path, and in so doing, then they will achieve enlightenment, become a Buddha. So in short, so these are the reasons why the mind only through expectorants assert that there are three final vehicles. So the reason why there are three final vehicles is because they're sentient beings who are of different dispositions and therefore of different lineages. There being three lineages. Yeah. And because there are three lineages, or because of their different dispositions, and therefore, they divide them into three lineages, and therefore, they also talk about three different results. Yeah.
Tuxini, that in the Silas, Tinemata, Nam de Bas, Nam de Vetuxin, Tinis, some Nam Zumba, setting around Dajuman, Hamed and Yangal Debana, by Junchever, Midotes, T. said Dugungi to be by Junchever, Dueja, the Bosom, Sanjay, Sir Dor, Debe, Tatu Tapa Chicago to my daughter.
Mind only false expectations do not assert that when the hearer and solitary realizer full destroyers pass beyond sorrow without remainder, their continuum awareness is severed. They do not assert this, yeah? They do not assert that the continuum of awareness is severed because although they assert that at that time, the continuum of mere awareness that is included in true sufferings and true origins is severed, they assert that mere awareness goes on to the Buddha ground. Thus, therefore, they assert one final vehicle.
Toxin, that tinema, energy, carsole, that Hamed Yangal, the Rupa Junche, said the Rupa Southern Junche of Mares, that on dying, Nam Zumbe, that on dying, the Rupa Junche, said the Rupa Southern Junche of Mares, that Dungad and Kunjung debit to me, the Quatinzo, that on dying, Junchevares, soon as the Mato, the Rupa Southern Junche Mares. Or the Sanjay Salah, the big Junting, Sanjay Sapa to Dugres, Jazan, Tartuga, Tava Chick, Sin, Mato.
So the mind-only false expectations do not assert that the whole continuum of awareness is severed at the time of passing beyond sorrow without remainder. They assert that only the continuum of mere awareness that is included in true suffering and true origins is severed, not the whole mind or the awareness in general. Only that awareness that is included in true sufferings and true origins, only that is severed. But the mere awareness, goes on to Buddha ground. Yeah, okay. So that is not severed, the mere awareness is not severed at the time of passing beyond soul without remainder. Well, that mere awareness goes on to enlightenment. And for that reason, the false expectations assert one final vehicle.
So
So what you have to understand from the discussion today is that the true expectorants assert three final vehicles. From your side, you have to know why. Why they assert three final vehicles? What's the rationale? And what is the reason that they show that to support their assertion? And the false expectorants only assert only one final vehicle. Yeah. So what? Why do they assert only one final vehicle? So you have to understand the point. Yeah. Okay.
So that's it. Huh?
Okay, that's all. That's about it for the mind only. Next, we can go on to be a middle way.
Michig, that you Suchun, Tanglan, Chess, Susu Tiju, Loro Chess, Michig. There's that Susi Susu Yabuchi, somebody, you know it. Yabuchi, somebody, no Maloro Shiro. The Susu, Oz, Chess, and the Chick, Yunsi, Lona Yabuto.
Okay, so you know, I give you that homework to do, right? So, can I have a volunteer to read out, you know, to read out what, you know, what you've volunteer, read out what you have written. And of course, the volunteer should be someone who is quite confident that he or she has written something reasonable or something good.
Come quick.
Not the Lao Jiao. Those who are enrolled as a new student. Yeah. All your imprint to go toilet all ripen same time, right?
Those who are going to toilet come back and read. I'm waiting for half an hour, okay? I'll wait until 9:30. Must come somebody.
Gracias, Madre.
Nobody want to read? Otukse, Timena, so nobody want to read, then I stop here. So, Tukse, that's the medulla, Anijika sorta. Pena do, Pena Sanje do, Sedugala, Colorium Basum de la, Tanje, Jabache, that peasant, Cheramot, Dodiba Mangchigi, that Sanje, Kain Dugala, that Dashes the Chela, she could then bother to me.
So, according to the proponents of Great Exposition and proponents of Sutra, essentially, basically, the proponents of Hinayana tenets, or Hinayana followers, even. I would say vast majority of them, if not all of them, assert that the Buddhist words are to be taken literally. To be taken literally. And therefore, everything the Buddha said is true. Yeah. However, the Mahayana tenets, such as the mind only, assert that the Buddha's words, you know, the Buddha's teachings, must be classified into those teachings that requires interpretation, and those teachings that those teachings that require interpretation, and those teachings that are of definitive meaning.
What is it? Chaza, Anishi, that Timmy, Ben Chatamaton, Dodebe, that Timmy, Timmy to the Kabla, Chaza, teaching a car mid cinema was young. That Junzen to Sadi, that Dashes in the Chalon, Ranga Sabanashi, Tata Mayanashi. Tim Mayanugala, that Sanje Sung by Ned Dambayangore, that Ranga Lot of Sambashi in Gore, Chaza, the Digimindus, Ranga to Tata Mitum by Yundugala, that teaching.
Many followers of the Hinayana, you know, in the past and even these days today, you know, do not accept that the Mahayana teachings are teachings of Buddha. Yeah? And I think it boils down to their worldview. Yeah? Because according to most of these followers, they think that the Buddha only speaks the truth. So whatever the Buddha says, you can take it literally. And so they must take it literally. And because because they approach the Mahayana Sutras with that kind of worldview, then, you know, if we look at many of these teachings, you know, when we read it literally, take it literally, then it doesn't make sense to them. It cannot fit their mind, is it? How can it be, you know? Know this, know that, whatever, like, no, kind of thing. So it cannot fit their mind, it doesn't make sense, is it? So it doesn't make sense to them. And then on the other hand, they think that whatever the Buddha said must be true. So, but because it cannot fit my mind and it doesn't make sense, so it's not true. Therefore, if it's not true, it cannot be taught by Buddha. So then they conclude that therefore the Mahayana teachings are not taught by Buddha, is it?
Oh, that tine ma ta sem sem be tishi jen do la san je ge sung la ani chi da shi do kya lan do zhong da shi do kya lan do mi rong a ge san je ge sung la ri yin xie xi da tong da
So, according to mind only, they divide the scriptures into two categories. Those scriptures that are suitable to be read or taken literally, and those are scriptures that are not suitable to be taken or read literally.
산제가 숭바 탐제 다시서 캘랑도 룸 고고 말해서 다 다 샘자베 독순 거야.
So the mind only school says that that all the Buddha's teachings are not necessarily suitable to be taken literally.
어떻게 제자가 다 콜로 좀 내리기 다 콜로 탐보스 콜로 봐봐 콜로 탐아 중거리 무슨 꼬치 수원안에 다 콜로 탐보 땅 발바니 산재가 숭발했어 이나 다시는 캐랑도 누구 말했어. 그러다 다시는 캐랑도 룸에디 다 좀된데 숭에 다시 캐랑데 콜로 탐아치 버렸어. 콜로 탐보 땅 발바니 좀된데 숭발에 산재 이까래 이나야 다시는 캐랑도 누구 말했어. 어떠시는 숭에.
So the Buddha turned the wheel of Dharma. Well, rather, there was the three turning of the wheels of Dharma. So the mind only accepts that the scriptures from the first, the turning of the wheel of Dharma, and from the second turning of the wheel of Dharma are or were taught by Buddha, or were taught by Buddha, but they do not accept that the sutras or the teachings from these two turning of the wheels of Dharma are suitable to be taken literally. For the mind only school, only the teachings or the scriptures or the sutras from the third turning of the wheel of Dharma are suitable to be taken literally. Yeah, so the mind only school asserts that all the teachings or the scriptures or the sutras from the first turning of the wheel of Dharma and the second turning of the wheel of Dharma are not suitable to be taken literally or to be read literally. So, take for example the Perfection of Wisdom Sutras. So the Perfection of Wisdom Sutras come from belonging to the second turning of the wheel of Dharma. So in the Perfection of Wisdom Sutras, you find statements such as form do not exist inherently. Forms do not exist by way of their own character. For the mind-only school, they accept that these were spoken by the Buddha. But they say that these statements cannot be taken literally. You cannot take it literally, you know. You cannot say that form does not exist inherently. You cannot say that, you know, that's how form exists, basically, for the mind only. So according to the mind only, such statements were made by the Buddha, but those statements require an explanation of the Buddha's intent behind those statements.
Oh, 도신이 다 돈다 아니 지금 샘점에 신도가나 되나 속랑 신기매 쓰나 아니 지금 돈다 돈다디 가렸은 거 알았어도 샘점에 나나 속랑 신기매 쓰디 속세디 랑당 랑신 지금 귀래 껴요 말해 쓰기요 말해 좀 되네 그만도 속거나 랑신매 쓰기요 말해 되나 속다 어디
랑다랑신직비빌에
껴요 말했어요. 당이 집에 귤했다. 랑당 당이 집에 귤에 안에 숙겨요 말았어. 랑신이 껴요. 당이 집에 귤에 숙랑신 껴요 말았어.
당이 집이 그 당이 집이는 숙당 숙유랑신이 숙
숙랑신네 세대 당이 집에 귤에 껴 매발했어 시다 돈다.
당이 집이 귤스나.
요 말아. 숙이 귤이나 숙은 제타대 거로 당이 집 많이 미쳐. 수규이나 수단 제타된 거로 양이 타된 거로
수규이나 수다 수규든 수
타대 타대로 와 그래 제단 당이 찍고 길에 껴요 말로 제단 수규이나 수단 제타된 거 당이 타된 거 제단 다 라신이 껴매 세디 당이 찍고 길에 숙 껴요 말에스 다토다 심지어 틴데 숨어야 거
so the mind only school you know they say that you know the sutras you know, from the second turning of the wheel of dharma cannot be taken literally you know so you know you find statements such as form do not exist inherently form are not produced inherently so only the mind only one has to understand what is the intent or the meaning of that verse for example form is not produced inherently. I don't know how to translate. I don't know. I'm stuck on this. So the so dang ni chi kyo kyo ma
su ti ni s rang da dang ni chi pe ju ti le kyo yo ma le se
rang da dang ni chi rang da rang xin ro dang ni sna ngo
su da su ju ni dang ni ta de ro wa
su da su ju ta de le ngo ta de le
So yeah, for form is not produced inherently means that form is not produced from a cause that is of the same nature. Or entity, or the same nature as that form. Lambda cancel the. Then lambda. You call me the engine. You understand? You understood what was in English? Right? It sounds. It doesn't. No. Doesn't hit the point. Yeah, it doesn't. So, the energy of the cure was. Yeah, so form is not produced in inherently, isn't it? Form is not produced inherently. So according to the mind, only this requires interpretation. It cannot be taken literally. So now we are trying to explain what is the mind only school's take on that statement. You know, that's the point.
There's no, you know, also self-production. There's no production from self, is it?
That's not self. So the sugar juice is zeta there, mo ta there. Teta, round down, danichi, gule, sukya, yomar, yes.
Round
down, never said. Rashi, tell me, said it. Sutting it round the danichi, gule, tell me, never as teacher, you listen.
So the form is not produced, inherently. So that cannot, according to my only school, that statement cannot be taken literally, so it requires interpretation. And according to mine, only what it means is that form, because form and the cause of form, these two are separate entities, separate natures. Yeah. So the cause of form is a separate nature from form. So form is not produced from a cause that is of a same nature as form. Or same, that's what it is. I mean, in the language, what is?
Okay, never mind. leave it there. So, I don't know. What is it? Oh, tonda intere. That tonda sanje. That tonda sanje sungla. That dashes kelandro.
So in the Mahayana, the Mahayana view is that all the Buddha's scriptures or teachings cannot be taken literally, So therefore, there's a division of scriptures into those sutras of interpretive meaning and sutras of definitive meaning. Of course, there's a huge discussion about the differences between these two kinds of sutras, and also, all the various kinds of logic and reasoning that are used to establish whether a teaching or scripture is a sutra that requires interpretation or is a sutra of definitive meaning. So, yes.
Oh, Tuxini, Tonda Nimbe, that Tapa Chimbo Sunga Latin, Arsena, Sanje, Chio Sunga, Duce, come down, Mabata Tunja Sungwashi. Duce, come down, Mabata, Tumbachi Sungwashi. Imbare, ro, duce tedante, sambala, deje, chu sungwashi. Tinde inzang, da, nyabardu, ani, tsignangshin, ngubunnes, denbai, bikaba, yamares, da, tanda, junzente, tugudwada.
We have to understand that the Buddha gives teachings in order to fulfill the needs of the listeners. And the teachings are given according to their dispositions of the listeners. And because of that, therefore, it's not necessary that it's not. Therefore, the words they're used by Buddha, the things that the Buddha say, are not necessarily the final truth, or it's not even necessarily true.
That is some day the Sungwadi, which is somebody that doing the Sungai Simba, some day the Rangi Gongshi member. What so do the somebody doing the Sungai Machi? What in the Ungress? That on Tapachim British to Kakuyan.
Yeah, so the Buddha has to teach according to the interest and the disposition of the disciples, isn't it? He has to fit that person's mind. So therefore, not everything that the Buddha said is not necessarily the truth, isn't it? And it's not necessary what the Buddha, it's not necessarily the Buddha's final intent. So I guess the Hinayana tenets, the proponents of Hinayana tenets, I mean, they look at Buddha as being an honest person. I mean, of course, the Buddha is an honest person, you know. And the Buddha is omniscient, so the Buddha knows everything. And so whatever the Buddha says must be true, isn't it? So therefore, you know, whatever the Buddha says is true, you know, you don't have to go and, you know, crack your head and try to, you know, think, you know, about, you know, why and what and so forth. You just accept it, you know. But, you know, but the minor view is that, you know, the Buddha teaches for the benefit of sentient beings, and the teachings are in accord with the dispositions of sentient beings, isn't it? So therefore, and there are always, you know, the possibility that, you know, whatever the Buddha said is not, whatever the Buddha said may not represent his what he really thinks, you know. So now it's like it's not you have to choose, you know, electing which position is better lah. And the Hinayana view, or Hinayana perspective, or the Mahayana perspective lah. You think it's better to take everything literally, or it's better to not take everything literally? So it's a competition between these two positions, isn't it? And whichever position has more reasoning and makes more common sense, then we support that position.
Okay, now you have time for question.
Karen Bushi, in when we were talking in Sutta School, there's this statement from Dhammakriti to refute why body is not the substantial cause of mind. Because in order to be a substantial cause of mind, it needs to be a similar cause. However, tonight I hear different things, because it's just now when we say the My Only School, when they interpret the second turning of the way of Dharma, it states the otherwise, that the cause of form is something that is not
tonight
in the nature of form.
Different thing.
Sorry?
Tonight you heard different thing, you said?
Yeah.
What?
Because now Dhammakriti says, in order for
a
composed
mind, tonight what you heard?
Substantial cause of a phenomena is not necessarily the cause of a similar type.
We didn't say that, yeah.
Tonight you heard that?
No.
We didn't say anything about that.
Because you say something, okay, then for My Only School, right, the cause of phenomena seems to be imprint. And imprint is non-associating compositional factor. So it seems to me like the substantial cause of form, for example, is due to the ripening of karmic imprint. And karmic imprint is a non-associating compositional factor, and it's not form. So it's of different nature. So then the substantial cause of form is not form. Substantial cause of consciousness is not consciousness. So there's a contradiction there.
No contradiction. Huh? Yeah, okay. Somebody can answer for that. Yeah, Benny can answer that. I think I did mention this before.
Okay, the essence of the question is, the essence of the qualm is this. Usually we say the substantial cause of matter is matter. The substantial cause of consciousness has to be that which is clear and knowing. But here in mind only, whether it's matter or form or consciousness, they arise from the ripening of a karmic latency or predisposition, isn't it? Then how? Then the whole substantial cause thing falls apart, is it?
Yeah, my answer.
So the substantial cause of consciousness has to be a previous moment of consciousness. Yeah. But there can be other causes, cooperative causes, that bring about the ripening, that ripens. For example, the imprint that ripens for that phenomena to come about. Therefore, a phenomena that comes about depends not just on the substantial cause, but also on many, many other conditions or cooperative causes for that phenomena to come about.
One more. Repeat one more.
A phenomena that comes about does not just rely on a substantial cause, but many other factors, many other cooperative conditions for it to come about.
Yeah. But your answer is her question. That doesn't answer our question, is it?
She asks about whether the substantial cause of a mind is...
Has to be mind. So your answer is what?
Yeah, substantial cause of mind has to be a mind, but...
Have to be mind.
Have the previous moment of mind.
Have to be.
In the mind only, it is the ripening of, or the awakening or the ripening of a karmic, one karmic predisposition, or one karmic latency. And from the ripening, that produces both the object and the subject apprehending the object, isn't it? So isn't that the substantial cause?
No.
I have to read the quotation somewhere there. Huh?
So the mind only schools refuse external objects, isn't it? And the main argument is that it is the one, for example, that one karmic in latency. This one karmic latency amongst the many other latencies that are stored in the mind basis of all. So one of these karmic latencies is awakened, ripened. This acts as the substantial cause, producing both the form and the eye consciousness apprehending the form, isn't it? So it is this karmic latency that is the substantial cause, isn't it? For producing both the object and subject, isn't it? Because if we say that the substantial cause of form is form, then that would entail external assertion of, or having to accept external objects, isn't it? Devo?
I understood that the substantial cause of a form is its previous moment for example, the observed object condition of a form, for form, for consciousness of form, is its previous form that has ripened due to the imprint. For example, imprint one ripens into subject-object apprehending each other, subject-apprehending object, and that becomes the substantial cause for the subject and object, per se, for the second ripening of the imprint. That was what I understood it to be. Of course, since Ken Richard explained it, and in the Mayanoni school, you do not have an external form, an external object, okay? But do you have an object that is due to ripening of a karmic seed? So you have a previous moment of that form and the consciousness apprehends it. Therefore, that becomes the substantial cause for the next moment of form and consciousness due to the ripening of, for example, the second imprint, the subsequent imprint.
So think about. Think about. Anybody have other answer? For that? So that is so tire, Penata, Tonani, Pachatik, Namshik, Yelin, Chigamindu, that you are tire. That you are invented, Pachatik, Namshik, Yelin, Chigamindu. That Pesaman Bunala did something, Rola, Pachatik, Namshik, Yelin, Chia, Sevushin, Sunkia. Rota, Pachatik, Namshik, Yelin, Chigamindu, so two was chicked the diet, Tilata, Yelin, Chigaret, and Chigamar, sent the summertime chicked it and two.
The question here, and what we're trying to find out here, is about what exactly is the substantial cause of consciousness? I mean, it's very clear in all the mind-only school literature that it is that the karmic latency, that is deposited in the mind basis of all, that latency acts as a substantial cause for consciousness. Let's say in the producing both form and the consciousness apprehending that form, isn't it? So, do you accept or not? Is the substantial cause of consciousness imprint?
So the
point about this qualm is that there are implications, is it? Or there are supposed implications. If we say that, you know, the substantial cause of consciousness is imprint, there are implications, right? You know, because, you know, the reason to prove reincarnation or rebirth has to do with the substantial cause of consciousness being that which is clear in knowing, which is consciousness, isn't it? So what the mind-only school say seem to go against this commonly accepted position. It seems to go against what the logicians, like Jama Dhammakirti has mentioned in the teachings, isn't it? In his text, isn't it? So this is something that requires much thought, in order to come up with a coherent or reasonable answer.
One more question, just one.
A very simple one. In the mind-only school, for the hearer and solitary realizers, foe destroyers, when they pass beyond sorrow, what passes beyond sorrow?
Sorry? What passes beyond?
Sorrow.
What passes beyond sorrow?
Yeah.
You mean when the arhat passes beyond sorrow, what passes beyond sorrow?
Yeah, for the hearer and solitary realizes. Because all the continuum of being severed.
Your question is more complicated than the mayonnaise. That's joking. I didn't get your question. Yeah, question.
Who dies?
So everything dies, and there's nothing passes beyond sorrow, right? It says passes beyond sorrow. Something must pass beyond sorrow, right? So what passes beyond the sorrow?
The table doesn't pass beyond sorrow, right?
In mind only school, true expectorant, right? And it says when the hearer and solitary realizes foe destroyer, they become arahat, pass beyond sorrow. My question is, what passes beyond sorrow? Nothing, is it?
Huh?
Nothing passes beyond sorrow because all die, all dead. I just want to be sure.
Never chaba the marma. Then a lakshya lame the nyangal de no lakshya the kuzi to sit down to go and sing to gala. Repa jin chaba the visit and she chick zawin and never chaba the chaba. To do that to go over there. Kayar was it hap of the killing water. Bet conanta never come at the yard, the bet conan never chart in the sumar.
Is it any? Dinin is it? So, you know, when they become an arhat, the hearers of solitary realizes when they become a full destroyer, they become a full destroyer, they achieve a nirvana with remainder, isn't it? So the one who has achieved the nirvana with remainder is the one who passes beyond sorrow without remainder, So the person who achieves the nirvana with remainder is the one who is going to die, right? And when he dies, he or she achieves the nirvana without remainder, yeah. And when the nirvana without remainder is achieved, the continuum of the awareness is severed, right? We say, yeah. Tio.
Tukshini. Ta hamay tu nyangal de no jukpa ta yuncha bar de na. Ta zawan ni meba ta meba tongba ta bet kora meba chaba chibesa ya meba chaba killing yo bar.
So yes, they say that when the arhats achieve the pass beyond sorrow without remainder, when they achieve the nirvana without remainder, yes, the continuum of the awareness is severed, you know. But that is not the same as saying that, you know, everything, there's nothing left, you know. The continuum of the awareness is severed, yes. But there is something left. There is something. There's a basis, yeah. There is something, yeah.
So
what is it that is, so the continuum of the awareness is severed, yes. Yeah, but that doesn't mean that there's no basis, you know. There's something pointable, right? I mean, so, but what exactly is that, is it? We have to think about it, but of course, I mean, we think about it from the perspective of this tenet, or the tenets who assert that the continuum of awareness is severed. But of course, in reality, I mean, there's no such thing, you know. But if we have to adopt the perspective of the tenets who asserts this, then we have to think what they may say. Of course, although in reality, there's no such a thing, but... So they definitely assert that there's something pointable, a basis. There's some...
Right.
So, although the continuum of the awareness is severed, you know, but still they must definitely assert that there's something left over, there's a basis. Why? Because in the first place, they assert there is a nirvana without remainder, which is an emptiness, right? No? So if there's an emptiness, then you need the basis of emptiness. Oh, so what is that basis, is it? So that's the thing, is
it?
So there is the nirvana with remainder, nirvana without remainder, and there is the non-abiding nirvana. You just have to get used to these terms. There are such things. Yeah. Okay. Nirvana without with remainder. Nirvana without remainder, and what? Non-abiding nirvana. Yes, so for these tenets these tenets, their way of explaining what a nirvana without remainder is, yeah. This is their own way of explaining what nirvana without remainder means, right? And when you achieve nirvana without remainder, the continuum of awareness is severed, isn't it? Yes, the continuum of awareness is severed. But because there is such a thing as nirvana without remainder, therefore, there must be a basis. There must be something that you can, you know.
Just okay. Wondering what is that basis?
Just wondering
what that basis. That's my core question.
I know, when philosophers go around left and right, this is a very nice way of saying that we don't have the answer. You have to get used to it. You know? It is what happens in the debate round. Perhaps one may get some idea. Maybe there's some similarity with the, those of you who have heard this before, the Consequence Middle Way School's assertion of that destructiveness. The past tense of destruction is what? No, the state. What we say? Shikba. We say shikba. The factor of disintegratedness. The factor of disintegratedness, the past tense of disintegration. After disintegration, there is a state of disintegratedness. Yeah. So the Consequence Middle Way Schools is unique in asserting that that is impermanent, it's a functioning thing, it's a composed phenomenon. Anyway, so of course the My Only School do not assert this, but maybe, you know, when we think about this Consequence Middle Way School's assertion on this, yeah, about the factor of disintegratedness being a composed phenomenon. No, but...
Okay. Huh? Now next we start. Middle school, okay? Time is... Sunday. This Sunday. Discuss whatever you like to. It sounds better. Just now she raised one question, so it can be that one. Tangmen dun yang ale den du kana ta tangmen yang de ale ti tong shi shi kan res ta sam sam.
What is the basically, you know, when someone after achieving the nirvana without remainder, what is the basis of emptiness? So, what is the My Only School's what is the selflessness of phenomena according to the Mind Only School? If phenomena possesses a self, what are the faults of asserting that phenomena possess a self? Or if you assert that phenomena possess a self, So, besides establishing the selflessness of person, what is the purpose of establishing the selflessness of phenomena? Why do the mind only through expectations assert three final vehicles? Why do the mind only school divide the Buddhist scriptures into those of interpretive meaning and those of definitive meaning? Why is it that the Mahayana tenets are able to posit a presentation of the four bodies unlike the Hinayana tenets? So together with the question, what are the benefits of such a presentation of the four bodies? What are the benefits of how does the presentation, or how does understanding the presentation of the four bodies, you know, increase or enhance our understanding of Buddha?
Okay. Okay, stop here.
Same. Okay. Okay.